Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come around your word and we come around this topic this morning, I pray that you will give those of us who need it revelation. I pray that you would give deeper understanding to those of us that need it. And I pray that you will give confirmation and encouragement to those who are already walking in the way that you would have us walk and live and be. And I ask for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, thank you everybody who has shared the scripture with us this morning. I love the word of God. There is so much within it. And how can we not bring more, as much of it as possible to a message? And these scriptures kind of bring a broad arch and a broad range to what it is that I want to speak to this morning. So over the last couple of weeks, we have been looking at eating and drinking. And as disciples of Jesus, as followers of Jesus, who want to live to be with him, to live our lives closely with him. We do that through prayer and through reading scripture, being still in his presence, listening for the Spirit of God to speak to us. And we do that by allowing our lives to be changed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, so that we are being transformed and renewed into the image of Jesus, so that we can then go and do the things that Jesus did and live the way of Jesus within our homes, within our workplaces, and into our communities. And that's what we've been doing around the practice of eating and drinking. For as we've read, Jesus, he loved to eat and drink. He did a lot of eating and drinking, as we do, but most probably a couple of times every day. And as I've mentioned, in Luke, we see that Jesus was either going to a meal, at a meal, or leaving a meal. And it's around the table where so much would take place. Eating together is a place of openness. It's a place where we get to share not only our food, but the possibility of sharing our lives with one another. The opportunity that we've been talking about of inviting others to our table, possibly those who don't know Jesus, and maybe who don't know you very well. And this is an opportunity, as I say, to share the gospel message, yes, through our words, but through our actions and the way we live. And then Guy shared last week about loving our neighbor and what that means. Who is our neighbor? And he talked about how far-reaching our neighbor is, but also spoke to our actual neighbours. Who are those who are living right next door to us? And how well do we know them? How might we invite them into our homes? Now, while we've been looking at eating and drinking and hospitality and all that kind of thing, what we don't want to forget is that to be hospitable, to eat and drink together, requires that we need to have food, which is kind of pretty obvious. And as we know that the Bible has a lot to say about food, God has a lot to say about food, some of which has already been read to us this morning. And as we continue to read the greater narrative of the Bible, we can gain an understanding that though God intended for food to be nourishment to our bodies, and then through hospitality, nourishment to our souls, and as a means of celebration, because God loves a celebration, we are also called to do and to bring justice through food. Yet instead, food has become and still is being used as an instrument of rampant injustice. Like so many good and beautiful things that God has given to us, others have taken it and used it for evil. Back in the First Testament, there was no welfare system, and the responsibility was upon those who had much to share with those who did not have enough. And it wasn't just a responsibility, it was a command of God, as we heard this morning in Deuteronomy, where God says to be generous to others. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your fellow Israelites, to your fellow countrymen and women. Leviticus 19 talks about how we might do it, or how they might do it, through leaving, not taking in all of the harvest, but leaving some for others. Taking what you need, but giving away some of what is left for those who truly do need it. Proverbs talks about it, that there is a blessing for you when you do that. But then in Isaiah, the greater blessing is that as we give to others and as we share with others, this is how we can partner in loosening the chains of injustice for others. And how is this done? Isaiah says, by sharing food with the hungry and providing shelter for the wanderer. Now, these words that are spoken to the ancient Israelites still speak to us today as apprentices of Jesus, because the baton of responsibility has been handed down through the ages. We're going to look now at Luke 14, 15 to 24. So if you have your Bibles or on your phone, I encourage you to look it up. Where we are, we're meeting Jesus. It's the Sabbath, which means it's a meal of celebration that he has been invited to. And the home that he's been invited to is a prominent Pharisee. So there will be a whole lot of people in there who will be of prominence, no doubt of wealth. And we see Jesus, as we look at the beginning, as you kind of scan through the beginning of the scripture here, Jesus is openly engaging in conversation with them, knowing that they are carefully watching him. And rather than in some meals where people are asking questions of him, it seems that he is the one who is initiating conversation. What's happened so far is that, as I imagine, with this meal that is before them, Jesus has already said to them, and I know that we've spoken about this a couple of weeks ago, that he says, when you have a meal, don't invite your friends and your family. Invite those who would not normally get an invitation. So he's already kind of made a little bit of a jab at the host of the dinner party already. So they're all kind of, their eyes are on him. And then, verse 15, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. And the first one said, 'Well, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it, so please excuse me.' And another said, 'Well, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out, so please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, I can't come.' The servant came back and reported them to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" So, what Jesus is doing here, he's telling them this parable, speaking of the kingdom of God. And to be honest, considering those who were in the room, those learned teachers of the law, once more the story that he tells us would have seemed so foreign and strange to the teaching and the culture of the day. Now, while this parable speaks to so many levels, this morning we're going to look at it on the face value of it. For at the heart of it, Jesus' eyes and heart is towards the poor. And he speaks to the rich, who in their comfort have become complacent, and so the invitation to the meal is not valued. As was the custom of the time, 2 invitations would be sent out. One would come out to invite you to come along, and then the second one would come saying, "It's ready, so come along, come now." So it's at the second invitation that the servant has gone out to say, "Hey, the food is ready and come now." So these guests have known that there was a meal, being prepared. And if you look at it, the excuses as why they cannot come It's kind of crazy. While they might seem valid to us, they're actually really rude. Because no one in the first century would go out and buy a field without seeing it first. No one would buy 5 yoke of oxen without first seeing it. And no one would knowingly get married between that short time frame and not already have given their excuse. So they've just kind of basically, one commentator said, what they're coming back and saying is, I'm sorry I can't come, I have to wash my hair tonight. It's the same kind of rudeness. And so, now with the food being made and being ready to consume, the certain man now invites everyone to the table. And again, to those listening to the story, as I've said, the invitation for basically anyone and everyone would be rubbing against and breaking with custom and tradition. What is it to feed our friends who have plenty when there are so many who have so little? And Jesus is using the table to highlight injustice and to speak of a better way. And what he is showing us here is that the idea that hospitality can be a form of doing justice as we feed the hungry. As the centuries go by, yes, the world is a very different place. However, injustice around the table, around food, remains the same. It is so sad to see food, this God-given gift, connected to injustice. So what does that mean? And what does that look like? The first one is modern day slavery. While we are aware of human trafficking and slave labor to support the sex industry and all its wicked tentacles, and the fashion and clothing industry, are we aware that it is also connected to the food industry as well? There are many places around the world, through subtle deceit as well as outright trickery, where children and adults alike are used to further meet the need and the greed of the world at large. And the statistics are horrifying. 50 million people trapped in modern slavery. 27.6 million people in Asia Pacific are in forced labour. While many of those are involved in the fashion industry, many are also involved in the production of food. These figures are horrendous. People are not commodities. And as followers of Jesus, who absolutely do not want to be part of such injustice, what might this mean? What it does is it tells us that every piece of food tells a story, which I know kind of sounds a little bit strange, but it means that we need to consider where our food comes from. It may mean that we need to ask questions, seeking out information on certain companies, especially where food comes from overseas and it appears to be very cheap. Countries where manual labour is needed on farms, where challenging terrains and climates, as well as processing facilities, places where only people can go. More often than not, what happens is that when people are in desperate need to care for their families, they will take employment with companies, sometimes in other countries, who promise them good money and good conditions, only for them to find that they have their passports taken away from them, and where the work is incredibly hard and very incredibly long hours, they live in squalid conditions and they are paid far less than they are promised, and being told that they will only get their passports back when they're asked to do something beyond what was expected of them initially. In terms of modern slavery, there are many stories online. There are too many stories of injustice and abuse. Another area of injustice is in regards to the waste of excess food. While it can be interesting and shocking to hear statistics of other countries, and if you just Google it, come up usually the United States, and we get to see these horrendous figures. However, New Zealand has its own figures and statistics, which are just crazy. According to Rabobank and Kiwi Harvest Food Waste Research, New Zealanders throw away 3.1 billion dollars of food each year. And this equals to $1,520 per household per year, which is actually more because not every household has that much to give away, because not every household has that much money to go towards food. And that equals then 100,000 tons of food. Globally, one third of food produced is wasted. That means that 1.3 billion tons of food is never eaten. And all of this, again, when the world hunger statistics are so incredibly high. 1 in 9 worldwide are affected by hunger. That's 828 million people. That's globally. But bring it back to New Zealand. 1 in 6 people here in New Zealand live in poverty. 853,000 people. These statistics are shocking. And while figures have been given for households, because this is what it talks about per household, it doesn't include the waste that comes from the food industry. Again, all of this, when there are people starving in the world, the injustice of the unbalanced scales on so many levels. Now, obviously, I could speak more to the injustice in the world because there are other areas in regards to food where there is injustice. And I could speak more to the horror of modern slavery and the heartbreaking hunger issue. However, I've spent some time in that this week. And I don't, you know, it has been such a burden on my heart. And I either go from being heartbroken and in shock or incredibly angry. And I think in a way, sometimes these kind of, to have these kind of, these statistics and to hear these kind of things is really good because it kind of shocks us or it opens us up. And then of course, as followers of Christ, we come and we say, so what can we do? How can we stop injustice? And how can we bring justice to those who need it? And I know that as I stand here and I see and I know most of you well, I know that many of you already are doing things and are involved in helping people. You know, you shop locally and you support people through Tear Fund and World Vision and the likes like that. So I thank you for that. And for other of us, we might know this from kind of a distant point of view, and we've kind of heard this. And maybe like me, think, well, what can we do? And then there are others who, this is new, this is news. So indeed, what can we do? So globally, we can partner with agencies. And again, there are more agencies who are involved in things than what I have up here. But these are ones that I know that we've been involved with. There's Tear Fund and World Vision, who do remarkable things, absolutely incredible things. And they are, like, got the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff where people are involved in modern slavery. And they work with agencies on the ground and to help people get out of those situations, to restore dignity and purpose and hope to people's lives when they find themselves, for whatever reason, that they find themselves there. But there is work that they do of being fence at the top of the hill. So where they are working to empower people and communities, giving them their dignity of being able to provide for their families. Because that's what happens when they can't provide for their families. What do they do? Where do they find themselves going? So what they do is they get alongside and they listen to the needs. And they work together to develop long-term plans. And they teach them and they train them to make changes that will last. And it's not easy work. It's not easy work when you're on the ground. And Carolyn and Terry Webster, they've done this themselves. They've worked in Africa to go in and to change the mindsets of people through food to help them to support their families. And it's hard work. It's hard work, and we honour you and bless you, the two of you, and the work that you have done over there. It's incredible. So I encourage you, I really encourage you to check out the Tear Fund websites, the World Vision website. We also have our own missionaries who this is one way that they are working. The Ames, as we know, we heard what they're doing. They're growing their own food, and they're sharing their produce with those around them, as are the Tree Wavers. Mark and Katrina Tree Waver, who are in Thailand, and they are working with a local village to be able to help them grow produce so that they can sell it, so that there is more than enough money. And we're really excited because they're coming to see us in a couple of months' time. They'll be sharing that with us. And the Aileens, who are up in Mozambique. And again, they've been working with a group of people to help them grow produce so that they can support themselves and they can support their families. Take the time also while you're on there not only to see what they do, but to read the testimonies. The testimonies of children who have been supported, of families who have been supported, and what it means to them and how life-changing it is. I encourage you to take some time, check it out, listen to the stories, allow the Spirit to speak to your heart. Then locally, there are those who are doing work here in New Zealand. Kiwi Harvest, who I quoted before as part of the survey. This is an amazing organisation which I've only just come to find out about because of the food bank. And what they do is they call it they rescue up to 200,000 kilograms of good quality surplus food every month. They divert it back to charities and organisations who are then supporting those who desperately need the food. 200,000 kilos of food every month. They do great work here in New Zealand, and they are always looking for donations and for volunteers to help out. We have our own food bank here in New Zealand, in Waiuku, and it solely is run on donations and people offering to help. So you can give help by finances, by bringing food. We have a basket that is under the table out there. and we have the privilege of serving our community here in Waiuku for those who desperately need food and their time. You can also, if you have some time, we're always open and needing volunteers for packing and delivering. There's Kids Can, who is a great organisation, who work with, and this really caught my heart, 1,100 schools and preschools. Preschoolers going without food. And what they do is they provide 55,000 children every year with lunch. Again, they are looking for volunteers and donations. Now, I know that some schools run breakfast clubs, but I also know that it's very hard to find volunteers to run these breakfast clubs. Maybe that is something that you might have time to do once or twice a week. Can I encourage you to maybe contact your local school to find out what they might have working in their schools and how you might be able to help out? At Cornerstone here, we have our table, which is an opportunity that we have to share lunch once a week with people in our community. And they're people who are struggling in many ways. Initially, it was established because we had so many homeless who were here in Waiuku. And once a week, a hot meal and some warm conversation, a warm place to be. In time, people have been rehomed and rehoused, and our last homeless person has finally found somewhere to stay, especially through the winter months, and that is such a joy. But it's wonderful that we can come together and share a meal. And we're always looking for people to come to cook meals and soups that we can share with them. We also have One Square Meal, and we've not talked about it much over these last months, the opportunity to create a meal that can go into the freezer, so that when anyone in our community and anyone in our sphere of our circles, our friends, anybody that might need a meal, for whatever reason, we have a meal in the freezer that we can share and we can bless others with. These are opportunities and ways that we can locally support and bring justice to our community. And then personally, What can we do? And we can pray. Never underestimate the power of prayer. And openly and honestly before God, say, Lord, what might you have for me to do in regards to breaking injustice and also to bringing justice to our community? What might you have me do? What might you have me be involved? What might you have me establish here in Waiuku? The next thing is to educate ourselves. Check out these places online. Look around. Ask the Spirit to show you, because He will. I mean, I've just constantly been seeing and hearing things over these last couple of weeks as I've been looking at this topic. Ask questions. Who might be involved in the planting or the caring, the harvesting, the processing, the packaging, the distribution of our food? And if we learn that our purchases are leading towards injustice in the world, might we as disciples of Jesus choose to change our eating and spending habits? And that will require some thought, and that will require consideration and some calculated decisions, and maybe even some sacrifice. But for the dignity and freedom of others, it could be a good step in the right direction. Learn to love the imperfect. I haven't got that up there. Learn to love the imperfect. A lot of our food is thrown away because it doesn't look good. I don't know if you've seen, like I have, there's my food bag and there's other bags like that. There's one now called Wonky Box. Have you guys seen that one? No? Say it into you, took it around your phone and it'll come up. It's full of fruit and vegetables that don't look perfect. They taste great, but they don't look perfect. And for a good price, people who have taken this wonky fruit and vegetables, they're bringing it to those around us. Case in point, I went down to the Goodness Grocer, little plug for the Goodness Grocer, and they had all this beautiful fruit that was in there, and I thought, oh, I want to get some fresh fruit and vegetables for us, and I came across the mandarins, and they did not look good. I'll be really honest, they didn't, and Angela came up, and she said, yeah, they don't look good, they've just got this on the outside, but it's really good tasting fruit. Well, I took some of those mandarins home. They tasted great. They tasted better than some of the stuff that I've purchased before. They didn't look good, but they tasted great. Yeah. Look out for fair trade items, because these organisations who are going out and advocating for the workers, fair trade items, we know that they will be food that there is fair and good equity of pay and conditions for the workers. Shop locally. When you can, when you know that food is grown locally. Consider not only what we purchase, but how much we purchase. And share food. And I know that we have a community here who do that often. Sometimes people will bring in their excess produce from their garden, and we're so grateful for that. What a great way. Not everybody has green fingers. So to be able to share some of the produce that is one, the excess produce, is fantastic. And while many of our homeless people in Waiuku have dispersed, if you do see some of them around, can I encourage you to strike up a conversation with them and consider buying them a hot drink and maybe something to eat? I can tell you that they will be incredibly grateful. And then the next best thing you can do is sit and eat with them as well. Now, it's so easy to become overwhelmed, you know, our hearts and our minds, when we think of all the things that we could do, you know, with all the need that is in the world and all the injustice. How can one person, how can I make a difference? How can we as a family make a difference? How can we as a community make a difference? Matthew 11:28 again. When Jesus says that my yoke is easy and my burden is light, yes, there is great need, and it can be overwhelming. However, as we partner with God, the burden is lightened. And as we partner and we work with others who are already carrying the burden, then we lighten their load, carrying it together. It becomes lighter for us all, and we have greater impact. And then that verse in Matthew 25, where Jesus says in the parable of the sheep and the goats, when you have done it for the least of me, you've done it for me. So when you've done it for the least of these, you have done it for me. What a privilege it is for us as image bearers of Christ to get to be part of the solution to the problem. That we from afar, you know, we're far away from some of the needs, some of the massive needs. However, we can partner with those who are over there. But we can also partner with those who are within our own community. As I close, I would love us to pray and to be able to sit before the Lord and ask Him to speak to our heart. Lord, this message this morning is not necessarily a feel-good message, and it feels really hard bringing it. But there is a truth. There is truth to this, that there is such imbalance in the world, and I know that it grieves your heart. You were aware of it from beginning. You knew that there were poor in the world, and that's because of sin and choice. You, along the way, you've made provision for the poor and for the needy. And as Jesus came and He spoke of the injustice of the table, but He also spoke of a better way. And I thank You too for the word, the scripture in Revelation that tells us that one day there will be no pain, there will be no mourning, there will be no more sadness. And we can take heart that there will be no more hunger. There will be no longer any abuse or slavery. And I thank You that as disciples of Jesus, that we get to have the opportunity to become agents of change so that we can see the loosening of the chains of injustice around the world and within our community. As we sit here this morning, Holy Spirit, I ask that You would speak to our hearts. You would speak to our minds. You'd speak to our beings. Lord, when we ask the question, what can we do? We know that You know us so well. You know what it is that we can do, what we can bring, what we can offer. And I pray that You would reveal that to us now and in the days to come. And Father God, we surrender to Your reign of love in every currency of being. In our body, our mind, our feelings, our time, in purpose, in our possessions and belongings. And I pray that You'd make us alive to the power that is making all things new, that power, Your Spirit within us, that helps us to bring what You have given us to others, that we might be the strangers from afar who are blessing those in need. At this time, we want to give thanks for what You have given us, for all that You have given us. And I pray that we would be good stewards, wise stewards, generous stewards, for our good and for the good of others and for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.